It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Yesterday, we read the introduction of Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, and today we're going to go ahead and continue in Galatians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 1. Today we're going to be reading verses 11 through 24. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. So Paul gives the church in Galatia a reminder of his resume here to reinforce the truth that Paul is not trying to advance himself. Paul is preaching the gospel as given to him by God. Therefore, the fact that Paul is preaching salvation by God's grace through faith alone, not through any outward sign of anything, be it good behavior or physical circumcision, comes from God. Paul hated the way, as Christians were first called, and he did everything he could to destroy it. The gospel that Paul received and taught was not one that was devised by a man for any crafty purpose, nor was the gospel that Paul taught one that could be attained by mere man. Part of the wow of Paul's conversion is the fact that he had no contact with the apostles when it happened. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest and perhaps kill some Christians when Jesus literally stopped Paul in his tracks. Again, this was part of God's plan. Paul was chosen before the foundation of the world to preach the gospel to the Gentiles as he is doing now. When Paul met Jesus, he didn't immediately run to the apostles for training and education. If he had, they may have rejected him anyway, as he had no way to show that he truly had been changed by that encounter on the road. God gave Paul the knowledge and insight that Paul needed through the Holy Spirit. Paul's preaching immediately served to show the apostles that he truly was anointed by God, especially as his teaching was consistent with what the apostles had been taught by Christ and what Peter had revealed to him by God. Paul's ministry from the beginning resulted in admiration of God through Paul by the believers and confusion and anger at Paul by Paul's enemies. Yet one more proof that Christ was not a mere man, because a mere man would have had to teach his gospel, but Christ did not have to teach it. He could imbue Paul with it in a single encounter. Paul was raised in a Jewish home with Jewish parents. He was raised in the time when the Jewish people had corrupted the statutes that God had given them when God himself founded and established it. Judaism had become so caught up in the law and in the outward ability of the person to follow the law that the true reality of who God was had been hidden. Paul, however, as he was raised, completely bought into this corrupted religion to the point that he was considered very well learned by other Jews. He was well respected. He towed the party line. He was moving up in the ranks of the Jewish leadership even. Paul was charismatic. He was zealous. He was a leader. He led and encouraged others to persecute the Christians. And he had the charisma to convince people that what he was doing was right. That's where Paul's resume comes into play here, reminding the people that he was more than just a good Jew. He was an extraordinary Jew. He was advancing in Judaism and he was zealous. But look at what he recognizes his zealousness was for. The traditions of his fathers. The traditions, not the truth. He was zealous, but it was misguided. Paul, by the way, is not claiming that he is no longer an Israelite. He's pointing to the reality that he's no longer seeking righteousness to be attained through the law. Paul points out all of these things to the people in Galatia so that they can contrast his past behavior with his current behavior. His charisma and zeal are still there, but they are more potent than ever now that he is using those gifts for God instead of against him. All the things that Paul tells them are easily verifiable. The detail he gives leaves no doubt that he's telling the truth. Paul was a true apostle of Christ, even if he was given his commission at a later time than the other apostles. 3 years after Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus was when Paul goes to stay with Peter and met James, Jesus' brother at that point too. After that, he went to Syria and to Cilicia, where he was still unknown in person to the churches in Judea. Those who had heard of Paul had heard of him in terms of the man who once persecuted the church and was now preaching the gospel, and they rejoiced and praised God for God's work in Paul's life. Thus they glorified God, not Paul, because of Paul's conversion, and the gifts that God had given to him to share the gospel. The reasons that people had to question Paul, namely his past, weren't the reasons that the church in Galatia questioned him, however. Their reasons for mistrusting Paul came from their listening to the Judaizers, who were still claiming that the old law must be kept in addition to the faith through the grace of God. Still, that got me thinking about Paul's past and how long it was before he went to meet with the other apostles, and how that truly was a wise choice and it glorified God all the more when he did meet with them, because they could see that he truly had met Jesus and he wasn't somehow making it up. But as I thought about that, this thought occurred to me. Don't we do the same thing? We can err like the people of Paul's time in a couple of different ways. We can refuse to listen to sound teaching, especially if it steps on our toes, or if the message is given by an unexpected source, for example, someone younger than you are. The other way we can err here is by listening to every teaching we hear and taking it all as truth. Here's the thing, the very thing that Paul commended the Bereans for in Acts 17, the very thing that the Galatian church would have done well to consider. We need to be sure to always, always, always check what we are told or what we read with the Bible. Whether we agree with it, because let's be honest, we can buy into a lot of lies because they let us remain comfortably in our sin, or whether we disagree with it because, again, we could be wrong. While God's word is never wrong, we need to get into the habit of taking everything back to Scripture, including anything you ever hear me say. We must choose the source of our input carefully. But even when we have found a trusted source of information or teaching, we mustn't just accept everything they say so, on their say-so. The Bible is our ultimate authority, not men, never men. My question for us today, ladies, is this. What impacts you most when you hear a new speaker? Their confidence? Their age? Their zeal? Their knowledge? All of those things can be attractive or distracting, depending on your view, but at the end of the day, none of that matters if what they teach does not line up with Scripture. So consider your flesh today. Consider what impresses you. Consider how easily you accept or reject information based not on the information and how it aligns with Scripture, but based on the source and the surface issues. If you find that you're swayed by a passionate or charismatic speaker without exercising discernment over what you're being taught, perhaps it is time to step up your discernment and remember that we judge by outward appearances, but those can be deceitful. Take it all back to Scripture. Read it and know it for yourselves, ladies. You can find the study notes for this lesson under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com under Day 2, Zealous for God.